Turn this evening to Psalm 119 and verse 89. Psalm 119 verse 89. And we shall be looking at this section of Psalm 119 together this evening. Well, we come towards the end of one year, an opportunity to look back, and of course we look forward to going into the new year. And I wonder if, as we come to the end of this year and we embark on a new year, whether it is with some trepidation that you approach the new year. You might look around you at society and you may wonder about society. Where is society going? What's happening across our country, indeed across the world? This destruction of the principles, the standards of God's word, and the raising up in its place so much that runs contrary to the standards of God's word. Or perhaps you, in your personal circumstances, you have cause to fear. There are things, dark and deep things, that are on the horizon that you're going to have to be called upon to go through in this year to come. And all of these things could lead us to feel a little hesitant, a little concerned. But what we see revealed in this portion of Psalm 119 is what I'm going to entitle the words abiding principles. The abiding principles of the Word of God that apply and are as relevant in all the changing circumstances that we see both personally and in society at large. Well, as we look at this entire psalm, we know the whole psalm has as its focus the word of the living God. And as we look at the section before us, we notice that in common with the rest of the psalm, there are numerous titles and words given to represent the word of God. In verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Well, that's an expression that we are well used to. Perhaps not so common in our ordinary conversation, but in verse 90, "thy faithfulness." It's a synonym here for the word of God. The faithfulness of God expressed in his word. "Thy faithfulness is unto all generations." And then in verse 91, "they continue this day according to thine ordinances." And there the word ordinances is a synonym for the word of God. Verse 92, "unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction." Thy law, another expression for the word of the living God. In verses 93 and 94, we have the word precepts used in each of those verses. "I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts." Another synonym for the word of God. In verse 95, the word testimonies is used. "The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies." And in verse 96, "I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment," another synonym for the word of God, "thy commandment is exceeding broad." Well, we could examine each of those terms. And each of those terms has its own special significance. But for our purposes this evening, we're just going to see them as synonyms for the Word of God and seek to look at the run of reasoning that is given to us here within this section of the psalm. And pretty much we can look at each verse in turn, one or two verses I'll put together, and we can see an overriding theme or principle that we can draw that assure us that no matter in what direction society is going, no matter what personal circumstances, what church circumstances we might be facing, the principles of the Word of God are enduring. They abide forever and they apply in all the circumstances that we are called upon to face. So in verse 89, coming immediately then to these principles, we see here that the Word of God is full of enduring principles. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And this is very interestingly expressed in the original. It doesn't come across so clearly in the English translation of the verse. But if I can kind of expand the verse a little, it really means something along these lines. Lord, in the same way that thou art everlasting, thy word is everlasting and settled in the heavens. That forever draws from the everlasting nature of God and says, in the same way the word of God is everlasting. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Well, think of our God, our Father in heaven, Jehovah God. He is everlasting, without beginning and without end. And so it is with the Word of God. This Word that we have in our possession, that we should, I hope you do, value very highly. This Word is as everlasting as God Himself. Forever, O Lord, thy Word is settled in heaven. It has always existed. Now, of course, we know that the Word of God was revealed and unfolded in human history over a period of centuries. And we know that human instruments were used as the penmen of Scripture. But never think that the Word of God is something that was developed. Developmental attitude towards the Word of God. This verse tells us explicitly that the Word of God always was in the mind of God in its entirety and has simply been unfolded as the years have gone by. Now, in our church, we have some meetings for children in the week. And on our Friday night meetings, we bring the children in, and from time to time, we do some cooking with the children. Now, I'm sure the girls' groups are very different from this, but in the boys' group, none of us who are teachers are any good at cooking. And so there we are, trying to teach the boys how to cook. And so we begin and we dish out the ingredients. And we do our best to give them the same ingredients. And yet one boy, his mixture will be very sloppy, and another boy's will be stiff, and you can't actually form it into a mixture. And so we go round and we add a little bit of flour here, maybe add a little bit of milk here, to get the right consistency in the mixture. And so, depending on the circumstances, well, we change things just a little bit. Well, that's a contrast for the way in which the Word of God came to be in our possession. Don't think, dear friends, of the Word of God, that as time went by and God saw that mankind rebelled, that this element of revelation was brought into being, and then as the history of the nation of Israel unfolded, the Lord then had to, as it were, adjust his plans and reveal a little bit more, and the revelation depended upon what went before. No, the entirety of the Word of God, every single word and syllable and letter of the Word of God was settled in the heavens before the foundation of the world. This always was God's message to mankind. And even such a thought moves us in love and gratitude to him, that we have it in its entirety. It places a special responsibility upon us in past ages when it was only partially unfolded. The saints who sought to love the Lord, they only had part of the word. And yet they loved it, and they based their lives upon it. Their thinking, their attitudes were shaped by what they had revealed. We have it all. We have it all. We have it in a language that we can understand. And we can become blasé about the word of God. But we're told that it always was, in its entirety, settled in the heavens. And of course, not only can we look back and we can be amazed about the word of God in terms of it being established before this world was brought into being, but that forever stretches eternally into the future. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Forever forwards, going into 2020, the word of God is settled. Its principles continue to abide and to apply. So no matter what we're called upon to confront, we will find in this complete, in this settled message, help, comfort, that which will stir us, that which will reprove us. Everything is found in this word. And indeed, it's hard for us really to contemplate how this might be, but forever, even into eternity, we conceive that this word is going to be important to us. And with our emancipated minds in the eternal realm, the word will mean so much to us because it is God's revelation to us, and forever it is settled. We have just a little hint of that later on in this psalm, in verse 93. I will never forget thy precepts. I will never forget thy precepts. The psalmist says, for me, even beyond the limit of human vision, even beyond my lifespan, thy precepts, thy word is going to be important to me. The enduring principles of the word of God forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And then we come into verses 90 and 91. And we see that the word of God is universal in its application. That would be the heading that I would place upon these two verses. Thy faithfulness, a synonym for the word of God, is unto all generations. And then he gives an illustration. We'll consider it in a moment. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Thy faithfulness, that synonym for the word of God, speaks about the faithfulness of God. And here we see that Almighty God binds himself. Can we conceive of such a thing? Binds himself, covenants, explicitly states that he will act in accordance with the principles that he has laid down in the word of God. We do not serve a capricious God, a changing God, a God who one day says this and another day says something contrary to it. We serve and we follow a God who has laid down a complete revelation. And those principles that he has laid down in that word of God are good to all generations, all the way through the history of the world and our personal life's history. There's a remarkable verse in Psalm 138 in verse 2. Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. God, who has an infinite right to everything, has lifted up his word and made that to be the representative of himself and the way in which he will act towards the children of men. Oh, shouldn't we value the word even more when we think that this is how God will act? The assurances that he's given, the promises he's given, the invitations that he's laid out for us in the word of God should be all the more precious to us. because we know that he has promised to act according to these things. But then equally, we can say regarding this that these principles apply to all. And we often think of this, don't we? That the Word of God is not limited in terms of culture. It's not limited in terms of language. It can be translated and has been and is being translated into all the language groups in the world. And once it is in each language group, those people then can understand the Word of God. It is very simple, even though it is very deep and very profound. And those simple truths are not bound by culture and nor language. It's relevant in every day and age. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. The generations succeed the earlier generations and we move forward in time. But the faithfulness of God, expressed in his word, is equally applicable in every day and every age and every situation. There is nothing that you can be called upon to face that the word of God doesn't have something to say. Well, let's look at this illustration that is given here in the middle of verse 90 to really drive this home. Thou hast established the earth and it abideth. They, don't think that they applies to the precepts, the commandments, the word of God. The they there refers to the heavens and the earth that have been mentioned. The heavens and the earth, the created order, continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Just think for a moment of what we rather grandly call the laws of nature. Once God created the world and set in motion what we call the laws of nature, those laws have always applied. They've applied from the dawn of time right up to the present day. And they don't alter. They don't change. It's not suddenly going to be something else. Oh yes, there are changes that are observable, but everything takes place under the constraints of those God-established laws of nature. Now think about technology. If a couple of hundred years ago you had said to someone, do you know one day someone is going to be able to fly? You're going to be able to leave the ground and stay off the ground. Oh, they may have aspired to that, but they had no conception that that could ever take place. And they might have laughed at you. It's impossible. Anyone who's tried that has only come to grief. It'll never happen. If you told them, do you know one day someone's going to walk on the moon? It's impossible. How can that ever take place? If you'd said to them, do you know one day someone's going to be able to pick up a little thing and touch it and then speak to someone on the other side of the world? Impossible. It can't happen. And yet all of these advances in technology have taken place. Oh, but here's the point. None of those advances in technology has run counter to what we call the laws of nature. They exploit, they apply natural laws to do amazing things, but none of them have gone counter to the laws of nature. And you know, it's the same in the spiritual realm and with the Word of God. This is God's spiritual law. This is the law that regulates mankind and our spiritual being, our relationship with God, the real us. And man may change and may advance, in inverted commas, and all sorts of things may happen in society, but nothing that mankind or society does will ever stray outside the remit of God's spiritual law as laid down in the Word of God. You know, we have nothing to fear. Man may seek to undermine and smash Christian testimony and tear away from us the Word of God, but it's there, and we have it, and that law, it exists, and nothing that mankind does will go outside of that. So we will always find a principle to apply to what mankind has done. We will always have a spiritual answer for what's going on in society, why mankind is why as he is. And so we have great confidence in the Word of God because of its universal application. Oh, we see it here. Thou hast established the earth and it abideth. These natural laws, the cycles that we see in the earth, year succeeding year, season following season, day and night, all of these things, they continue this day according to thine ordinances. We can go deeper. Everything that goes on in the world is only illustrating, is only showing the extent to which God's commandments and the principles of the Word of God regulate these things. They illustrate those things. So where mankind or society shakes its fist at Almighty God and hates him and turns his back upon him and refuses to allow the children to hear the abiding truths of the Word of God, well, the Word says there are consequences to these things. We know this because we see it in the Word of God. So we only really watch and plead with the Lord that in the midst of wrath and anger, he might also show mercy upon many and bring them to seek him and to find him. And you know, the verse says, for all are thy servants. The heaven and the earth are the servants of God, simply playing out and illustrating the principles that we find so clearly given to us in the Word of the living God. Let's move on then, and we'll see in verses 92 and 93 that the Word of God is full of positive and life-giving principles. There are, sad to say, even among professing evangelical Christians, those who reduce what it is to be a Christian to a set of do this but don't do this. Just laws, little shibboleths that they make to be so important. And this little section, these two verses in this section, where they say, no, the Word of God is actually positive and life-giving. It isn't restricting at all. We see here, unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. All spiritual life comes directly from the principles that are found in the Word of God. There is no other source for salvation, for information about God, for information about the human condition. All other sources are untrustworthy, but we can turn to the Word of God with real confidence, knowing that there we will find why we are as we are and the way back to God, in trusting the plan of salvation that he has both laid out before us and then brought into effect in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Unless thy law had been my delights, without the Word of God and all that it reveals, I would have perished in mine affliction. I was doomed. I was on the pathway to everlasting destruction. And therefore, I will never forget thy precepts, because they are what has brought life to me. For with them thou hast quickened me. Not a set of rules, not restrictions, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. But here is life. Here is joy. Here is what inspires us. Here is what propels us through life and energizes us for serving our God and our Saviour. And even when backslidden, it is to the Word of God that we turn to bring us back into communion with the Lord. And that principle is further extended in verse 94, where we're told that the Word of God brings us liberty. I am thine. Save me, for I have sought thy precepts. Now that word save is a slightly different word than the expression of being quickened and of not perished in the affliction that we found in the earlier two verses. And it literally means thou hast brought me into a wide open space. It has to do with having been restricted, having been constrained, having been enclosed, and then suddenly be brought out into the wide open spaces where there is freedom, where there is liberty. And the psalmist says, I am thine. This quickening of which I've spoken in the previous couple of verses, well, it makes me a true follower and a lover of thee, my God. Bring me into wide open spaces, for I have sought thy precepts. And it is in the precepts of the Word of God that we are brought into greater liberty. Is there, as you come to the end of 2019, is there a sin that you found has really been hard to do battle with in this past year? And all at the beginning of the year, when we think of resolutions, it's that sin. Oh, if only with the Lord's help, I could get freedom from that sin. That's the wide open space of which we're being spoken of here. That power over sin to bring us into liberty in the gospel. And we only find that in the principles, the precepts of the Word of God. Are you doing battle with a particular sin? Then go to the Word of God. Seek within its principles, its teaching, power from your God to do battle with that. Do you have a temper? A sharp tongue? Do you find yourself to be somewhat selfish? Or seek the help that you can for these things from the Word of God. And the more we are students of the Word of God and seek those precepts, and of course when the psalmist here says, I have sought thy precepts, he's not only looked them out, he's not only tried to find them in the Word of God, but he has sought to apply them. He sought to make them his own. Perhaps to pray them before the Lord and to call upon him to be true to his word in giving power over those particular besetting sins. And we must follow his example and seek with the Lord's help to overcome those besetting sins. And then we move into verse 95. And here we see the Word of God as our abiding protection. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. It's just possible, as we think about that verse, that it looks a little confusing. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but my response is to consider thy testimonies. Well, we have many enemies that lay in wait and are plotting our downfall. Let's think of the enemy of our souls, the devil. He would love to bring every one of us down this week. And you can be sure that he is lying in wait to destroy you, to smash your testimony, to make you commit some sin that will mean that you become a backslider, that you doubt your God. And he's hatching plans, and he's got all sorts of things in mind to accomplish this. Well, what are we to do? We don't know what his agenda is for us. We don't know precisely in which form the temptation or the attack may come. Well, it may seem slightly counterintuitive, but for us, we cannot know all his plans for us. But if we are armed with the sword of the Spirit, if we are immersed in the Word of God, if by considering his testimonies, and that is the way in which he so often in the Word proves himself to his people, those principles will enable us to take our stand and to withstand the enemy and make us ready for every attack. Well, this is a tremendous thing. We don't know the direction in which the attack will come, but we know that if we have those promises at our fingertips and those assurances of the Word of God, that we will be prepared then to meet him, to offer up that emergency prayer, to plead that promise of the Word, to call to mind a scripture relevant to that situation or that particular sin and temptation, and cry out to the Lord for help. This isn't about hand-to-hand battle with the enemy. This is using the resources of the Word as our shield and our defence in those moments of attack. And then what about attacks upon the church? We could think about those, couldn't we? And there are so many. There's evolutionary thinking. All of society now. All of what you might call intellectual society certainly has gone hook, line and sinker for this idea that the universe has evolved from nothing. How are we to counter this? Well, we thank the Lord for those who make a study of these things and provide resources for us and give us helps. But none of us can ever be expert enough to counter these things. But we must follow the example of the psalmist. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me. What's my response? But I will consider thy testimonies. We turn to the Word. Our source of information, first and foremost, comes from the Word. Yes, we may suffer intellectual scorn and disparagement for doing so, but it's the Word of God that is the sure testimony to which we turn. And we combat it by the Word. We think of false religion, secular humanism, campaigning atheism. All of these things arranged against the church. What do we do? Do we seek to counter them, each one? No. Our great mandate is to preach the Word, to stick to the Word. And as we declare the Word, we undermine the foundation of all those contrary views of human society and mankind's origins and all of those things. It's in the Word that we have our greatest defence. So the Word's abiding principles are our great defence in all our personal, in all our church and in all our societal concerns. And then lastly, verse 96. We see something of the scope and the power of the principles of the Word of God. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. I remember when I was at school studying A-level physics, and do bear in mind that this is a very long time ago, that my physics teacher, as we were studying a particular component of the course, was talking about the development of computers. Now, in those days, a computer needed a room, and air conditioning and all sorts. They were huge, great things with a tiny fraction of the power that computers have in our day. But my teacher said to me, you know, in 10 years' time, they won't be able to make the processing speeds of computers go any faster. And he explained to me why that was. And he said it with such confidence that I believed surely that must be true. You see, mankind's view is limited. Mankind's view can only see so far. But not so with the Word of God. The scope of the Word of God is that all human perfection comes to an end and has its flaws, like the argument that my physics teacher gave me. And computers, as you know, have developed to be far, far faster and much more powerful than they were 30 years ago. But when it comes to the Word of God, there is no limit to its scope and to its power. I have seen an end of all perfection. That's all human achievement, all human advancement. But thy commandment, by contrast, is without bounds, is without limitation in terms of its scope or its power. Almost certainly before conversion, we regarded the Word of God as just a dry old book. But as those who are saved, as those who have been given light, surely we see with the psalmist, and we're moved afresh to consider the amazing treasure that we have in our hands in the Word of God, that is able to speak to every circumstance, every condition, everything that we might be called upon to face. So whether we begin the next year with joy or with a measure of trepidation, always trust in the Word of the living God. Its abiding principles, they are so amazing. And we ought all to be great students of that Word, learning of it, and plumbing its depths, and amazed and ever thankful to our God that we have this complete revelation in our hands. Let's pray together.